Hello and welcome to another You May or May Not Like It board game edition. This week we're going to talk about Dominion, and for those of you who are familiar, there's about a million expansions, so we're going to stick with just the base game here, because obviously we haven't played all million expansions, but over time we'll probably add more. So, I am your host. You can find me on Twitter at XSourceNX. I'm here with Brian. You can find him on Twitter at PureRockFury. You can find all of our other cool stuff at ReviewAndRoast.com. Written reviews of TVs, movies, all kinds of awesome stuff. You can buy movie tickets there. I haven't said that in a while, but that's totally still a thing. And you can listen to all of our other shows at ComicRoast.com. So, Dominion was another one of the first types of games that we acquired around at our table. I don't remember what the very first was, but this was right up there. And when I acquired this game, Brian and I probably wore out some of the cards to the point to where they don't exist anymore. I mean, we played the shit out of some Dominion. And, you know, when you're first getting into these types of games and you start realizing, like with Dominion, off the top of my head, I don't remember. I apologize. I probably should have looked it up. But you start with your money cards. There's three different types. There's $1, $3, $5. Then you have your point cards, which 1, 3, 5, and 8. I think there's four different point cards.
Wow, I don't even remember now.
Anywho, but the bottom line is, you purchase those with the cards that you have in your hand, and everyone starts with the same amount of gold and or points, and the rest of the game is based off the community, I guess, of 10 different cards that are in the middle, and those are what you buy and add to your deck. You can buy one per turn. Now, of those 10 cards that are out there, there's 10 in each stack, so essentially there's 100 cards out there. But in the box, there's probably like 25 to 30 different cards. So you can literally change the 10 cards you're playing with in that game enough times to where you'll probably never play with the same 10 cards.
Just to clarify, and I'm sure most people already know this, but an estate is worth 2 points. No, an estate is worth 1 victory point.
Right.
A duchy is worth 3 victory points.
Yes.
And a province is worth 6 victory points.
Right.
And the estate costs 2 coins, the duchy costs 5, and the province costs 8. There you go.
Now, I'm not going to go digging through the box, but for instance, there's a witch in the game. I'm not 100% sure if she's called the witch.
She's called the witch.
Yeah, so what she does is she gives the other players... So if I acquire the witch on my turn, she goes into my discard pile. When my deck runs out, shuffle. You all know how deck builders work. I play the witch. Everyone else gets a curse. There's other cards that will add money to your turn. There's cards that will add buys to your turn. Because I said you can only buy one card per turn. So this will allow you... Oh, shit, I got $8, but... Well, I can only buy one thing. That's kind of lame. Oh, and I played this card. Now I can buy 2 things. So there's, like I said, there's 25 to 30 different cards in the box. They all do something different, and it's, God, I kind of want to play it right now. It was actually, we had ridiculous amounts of fun playing this game for a long time until, you know, our collection expanded. So anywho, I'm getting a little nostalgic over this. So... you got anything to say before we dive?
Well, I can't remember if the first deck builder that entered our orbit was either Legendary or Dominion. I want to say they both came in pretty close together, and I think Thunderstone was also right up at the top of that list. But Legendary or Dominion was the first deck builder that either entered the collection or that we've played, or it might have been Resident Evil. Although we've only played Resident Evil like twice. But I, whichever one it was, out of the three between Legendary, Dominion, and Resident Evil, it was one of those things where I was like, man, I really like deck builders. And we started getting kind of deck builder heavy for a minute. Kind of tapered off a bit, but, you know, still like the system. But yeah, it's essentially you get one action per turn. The one gold coin is basically a free action. If you have nothing, if you end up with like a bunch of negative points, or all just because the point cards just keep reshuffling in your hand, and they kind of, they're useful cards at the end of the game, but they're kind of junk while you're trying to gather up stuff. Essentially, you start the game with they're cards that, it's a deck of cards that you'll pick 10 out of, and those are the cards you're going to put into the market. You set up the market, and then I believe you start with 3 estates and 7 gold, and then 5 card hand. You lay your 5 cards down, you buy what you can afford, you move on, your deck gets bigger, so on and so on and so on and so on, till either the estates and the duchies are gone, or the provinces are all gone, and then the game ends. Count up your points. Person with the most points is the winner. I mean, it is the first deck builder, so I mean, games have gotten more creative and elaborate since then. But it's hard not to acknowledge the staying power of this game, especially considering I believe there's 9 expansions. And the base game itself has a decent amount of legs, especially if you're trying to teach a deck builder to a person that's never played one. Dominion is a really good place to start because it's very easy. I mean, to develop a strategy takes a minute, but to learn the basic idea of how the game plays is pretty simple.
Well, here's... Well, I guess we'll jump right into, you know, what we like about it here. Now, I have a few things. Mainly, okay, I just opened a box while Brian was talking. There's 24 different cards. They're called Kingdom cards. So there's 24 different possibilities for your 10-card community, you know, purchasing area. Now, there's a list in one of... It comes with 2 books, both very small. You can literally read them both in 7 minutes, maybe. So it's not going to take long for you to learn if you don't know how to play already. It comes with 5 or 6 different recommended kingdom cards. As far as like, okay, this is your first game. This is what you're going to want to go with. If you want to go with something that's going to, you know, be big money. If you want to go with something that's going to be, you know, whatever, bigger strategy. And it lists out for you, like, these are what we recommend for this style of game. But each kingdom card also comes with an 11th card that's got a different color backing, so you can kind of keep them all separate. And what we normally do is we just shuffle through those and randomly draw 10 cards, and those are the 10 cards that we play with. So the fact that they, you know, obviously they recommend different cards for different styles of play is great, and the fact that they come with that little, you know, the extra card, it doesn't sound like much, but when you're just going down the list and you're like, oh, I don't remember what we've done before, you know, it just makes it easier to randomize your game every time, and you always get a different experience, which is fantastic. It's literally you, from the time you open the box till the time you're playing, literally is going to be about 45 seconds. I mean, it's that fast to set up, as long as you keep your stuff organized. And the game itself does a really good job of, with the inlays, with keeping all the cards separated, which, again, is fantastic. Now, a few weeks ago, we did the Pathfinder game, and that was kind of... The inlay for that box was decent, but I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Broken Token or whatever. So I went there, and they have a special... They make special inlays for certain games. Now, for Dominion, they have the Dominion Big Box. It's like a, it's like $100, but it's a carrying case for every single, you know, Dominion plus all the expansions. It's kind of awesome. I kind of want it, but I only have one expansion at this point, so... Kind of a waste of money for me to have the Dominion Big Box, but
I think the Dominion Big Box comes with every expansion. I think.
Well, that can't be true. The expansions are like anywhere from $30 to $50. They're not going to give you all 9 for $100 plus the fancy wooden box.
Oh, it comes in a wooden box. All right.
I'm not talking about. I know what you're talking about. No, I'm talking about the Broken Token. Instead of making an inlay for Dominion, they make a fucking treasure chest for Dominion.
Oh, I was thinking about the game itself.
No.
All right, never mind. Because I know that Rio Grande is coming out with a Dominion big box version, kind of like they did with El Grande, and Alhambra has one.
Right.
Fresco has one. There's a couple other Euro, kind of popular Euro games that have a big box version that come with like five or six expansions in one. So,
and I'm totally going to mispronounce this because I'm one of those lazy people that only speak one language. But it did win the 2009 Spiel des Jahres.
Spiel des Jahres.
Yes, that's what I said. Spiel des Jahres.
Everybody knows what the Spiel des Jahres is.
Yeah.
It's like the Oscar for board games.
Yeah. So 2009 winner right here. Base game. So you know, it's gotta be at least kind of fun. You know what I mean?
Well, it invented a whole new genre.
Right. So what do you like about it?
The fact that it invented a whole new genre, and the fact that the game came out in 2009, 2008, we'll say. So in less than a decade, people have really taken the whole deck builder mechanic and found numerous ways to utilize it in creative and interesting ways. Legendary came out of the gate pretty shortly after this with a really great base game from a company you'd never expect, because the Upper Deck's known for sports cards. They're not really known for gaming.
And yeah, they're killing it.
Yeah, and Legendary is probably the most successful deck builder outside of Dominion, I would say. And then there's a few others. Ascension's also really successful. Like I said, it's just an... I became interested because I started getting into Magic about... or getting back into Magic, or more into Magic, about 8 years ago. And while walking through either the hobby store or the bookstore, I see this, and I'm like, this looks like Magic. This could be like Magic in a box. Clearly, it's a different kind of game. I just remember the first couple times we played, and I'm like, oh my god, I've never played anything like this. Now, granted, time goes on. You start playing Thunderstone, Legendary, the DC Deck Builder, Ascension, Tyrants of the Underdark. Dominion seems a little pedestrian by comparison, but you can't deny the fact that without Dominion, none of these other games exist, at least in the form that they currently exist. So right then and there, that makes Dominion a super important game. I mean, I'm thinking on the level of, like, Risk. Whereas, like, yeah, Risk, the base game, clearly outdated, clearly flawed, but without it, there is no Blood Rage, there is no Conquest of Narrath, there is no Axis and Allies, there is no myriad of area control games that all essentially at one level or another owe their success and their existence to the fact that Risk was made. So it's, to me, Dominion, it rests on that level of importance in the grand scheme of gaming, because it created an entirely new genre from thin air, essentially.
Correct.
And the artwork. The artwork's fantastic. The fact that there's, I believe, like I said, 9 expansions, at least 7, but 9 potential expansions. When you figure there's 24 cards in the base set, your average expansion is about the same size box. There's a couple of 2/3 size boxes. So you figure, okay, maybe 18 to 20 cards in those, another 24 to 30 in the regular expansions, times 9. Now you're looking at 200 different unique cards plus different alternative rules when you add various expansions in there. You could really get a lot of mileage out of a Dominion.
Yeah, there's actually an app. I had it one time. I don't know if I still do, but you go down the app and you select what games you want to play with. Base game, Seaside expansion, Mayfair expansion. I think that might be one of them. But you just pick the ones you have and pick the ones you got to play with. Hit the button and it'll randomize 10 cards out of those boxes for you. Which, again, I mean, people get really kind of into this game, which is, it's always been kind of neat. The things I don't like, and this is kind of just going to be silly stuff at this point. I am a nerd and like to keep my stuff as new as possible for as long as possible. So I sleeved the cards as soon as I got the game, and trying to fit all the cards back into where they're supposed to, their little cubby holes as sleeved, they don't all fit. Kind of annoying. Kind of bends the sleeves because whatever. I don't. I did. it is what it is. I'm sure they didn't design the box, you know, thinking people were going to sleeve this game, but that's a slight annoyance for me. But I think, and again, this is kind of ridiculous, but I think the thing I hate the most about this is that we wore it out so fast. I mean, we don't play it that much anymore, but when I first got this, we easily played this 50, 60 times. Like, anytime somebody walked through the door, like, dude, you guys got to check this game out.
I feel like Dominion would probably benefit from adding a few more expansions to it. It would definitely, like, recharge the life for this game for us. But, I mean, for me, Dominion is kind of like, at the risk of sounding cheesy, it's like an old friend. You know, you can call it up when you're really just, man, I haven't seen Dominion in a while. You break it out. Yeah, it's not going to give you the same level of intensity as, like, you know, a really tough game of Legendary or...
I feel like a couple months ago we were like, well, all right, let's play it. I feel like we had a fucking blast.
I'm just saying, like, when you're playing Legendary, you're playing against the clock. You're trying to beat the Master Strike. You're trying to avoid the scheme twist, all that sort of thing. Dominion doesn't have that. It's essentially, it's just you're playing for points. But again, it's a good... It's got its place because it's a good family game. If you have a, if you're bringing it to a family party, you're looking to play a board game with your sister, your brother-in-law, your nieces, nephews, whoever, cousins, it's easy to teach. It's super easy to learn. So we're on to what we don't like. Yeah, I don't really care for the card insert, and that's because I have another Rio Grande deck builder called Arctic Scavengers. When you turn that thing on its side, all the cards just go plump.
They don't, not in this one.
In mine, well, I didn't sleeve Arctic Scavengers, but every time I open the box, the cards are just blop all over the place. They're all out of order, and they're getting bent more and more and more. And they're not the best quality cards. I don't remember what Dominions are because they've been sleeved for so long, but I kind of remember them being a little less than top-of-the-shelf quality, so they almost need to be sleeved.
Yeah.
And because there's so many cards in the box, it's going to cost a few bucks to sleeve them. That's kind of annoying. Like, I really wish there was a better way to store the cards in the game.
They're also a bit, bit of an odd size for cards. Maybe that's like a.
Aren't they euro sized?
I don't know. Maybe.
I thought they were euro sized.
It could be.
I mean, it's still for your average person who's going to go buy sleeves at Barnes and Noble or Target. Yeah, you're not getting euro game sleeves there. So yeah. If you happen across Dominion and you don't know or you don't have a local game store, you're not going to know what size to get on the Amazon. When you go on Amazon, you're not going to know the difference between a European board game sleeve and an American board game sleeve. There's two different American size sleeves, two different Euro size sleeves. Then you get the smaller cards and the bigger cards and the square cards. And it's just like you kind of have to know your games to know how to sleeve them at that point. Somebody who maybe is not board game savvy yet might not know that, so they're just going to buy the generic Ultra Pros for 90 cents a pack and
boom,
end up with crappy sleeves that are barely any better than your low-grade comic book bags.
Yarp.
Other than that, there's just a few cards in the game that are just kind of like, eh. I guess that's the same with any game, but
yeah.
There's a couple of cards in the game where it's like, you like look at them and you're like, because part of the way to gain points in this game is to chain things together, and there are some cards that just don't chain very well together, so they just kind of eat up your hand. And it's like, this card would be awesome if I could do this, this, or this with it, or it would at least be useful if I didn't have this, this, or this. It's frustrating when you get your hand and you get three cards, and they're all either good or they're all kind of eh, and they don't chain together, which doesn't really work. Like, I think that was kind of one of the things that they didn't foresee when they made the game. Because a lot of deck builders since then, you might have a hand of lower grade cards, but they all have abilities that chain together, which makes them work for you, as opposed to this game where it's like, all right, I have a market, I have a festival, and I have a council room. But really, I can't do anything. And I'm not remembering which ones have the plus one action necessarily, but some cards don't have plus one actions or plus one buy or whatever, so therefore chaining together is not quite as easy as it is in other deck builders. That's super frustrating, I think.
Which, again, could be a lot different in expansions, but we're not that savvy on all.
But we're expansions. We're strictly talking base game, assuming we've never played Seaside or any of the other expansions. Which really we've only played Seaside, so
correct. Honestly, when it comes to if we're going to do something different, I might improve the quality of the cards a little bit, but other than that, like the game pretty much plays about as flawlessly as you're going to get with a game like this. I mean, it's really quite amazing what they did and what it's flourished into in the since then. But I don't think I would change anything. I really, you know, I mean, we really like when we first started playing this, we really liked it. We're like, whoa, what if we play a manly game and we just play until all the points are gone? Yeah, that was a terrible idea because it took way too long and it takes the fun out of it. You know, just like all these other games that we sit here and we bitch and we're like, oh, if there was just one more round. Yeah, but you know what? That might ruin the fucking game. You know what I mean? I'm sure that this all gets play tested out and I'm sure it's all tested extensively. But honestly, I don't think I would change anything with this game. I think it's all pretty well put together.
I can think of one thing I would definitely change about this game. Like I said, we got this pretty early on, but we also got Legendary and Ascension and Thunderstone. And the original Thunderstone also has this particular issue, but Thunderstone Advance, which I also have, does not. And that is a board or mat that gives you card placement and just a general aesthetic of, like, this is the Dominion board. This is, like, Legendary. Right off the bat, you got the nice cardboard board that tells you.
They don't make that anymore.
Right, but they still give you a...
They give you a playmat.
They give you a playmat, something.
I know.
And Legendary Encounters, they all come with individual playmats. DC Deck Builder is another one that doesn't come with a board, but they sell the individual playmats. And I'm sure there's somebody that makes a Dominion one, which is fine. DC Deck Builder, in my opinion, also has that issue. I feel like some kind of playmat or board is, it's not necessary, but it's really kind of, at this point, I feel like should almost be standard. Because when I got Ascension, it was the first one that I personally bought that came with a board, and I'm like, man, it's such a small thing, but I love having this here because it's like, it just defines where everything goes. And that I like. Because then there's no, well, why don't we put these cards closer together to try and make more room? Like, boom, the board is the board. That's where everything goes. And then, you know, you figure out your room around it. It's just more streamlined. It streamlines the game, makes it easier to set up, in my opinion. That's what Dominion could use. If there's a third-party version, that's fine. But then now you're talking 20, 30, possibly 40 bucks to drop just for the mat itself. If they put one in the game box and charge an extra $5, then you don't need to go order an Ultra Pro one, which may or may not exist. So there you go. That's what I do differently. Playmat and or board.
Yeah, playmats are definitely a good option. I do enjoy my board for Legendary because I did buy that game pretty much right when it came out. And they don't make the board anymore, so I feel like I've got like a special edition.
I feel like you kind of, because they still charge $60 for the game, but everybody's getting the playmat now. Playmat's fine. Board's better, though.
I agree. Board's way better. But whatever, that's neither here nor there. So, yeah, Dominion base game, you know, it's largely looked at as one of the gateways, and for very good reason, as they all are, you know, like Ticket to Ride and Carcassonne and Catan. They're all gateway because they're all really easy to learn and they're all a lot of fun. I actually reviewed this on the website when we first got the website, so I don't want to change my score from that. I will give it an 8.5. It is a lot of fun. And just to throw it out there, the community who actually has voted on this game on the site has got it up to a 9.5. So it's very well liked.
I think so. I think it's, there are probably about 6 games total, maybe more, 6 to 10 games that would fall into, like, these are the games you want to have at least a couple of when you're starting a board game collection. Dominion's definitely one of them. It's not in my top 3 out of that group, but it's pretty close to it. And my top 3 could change week to week, even though I think there's probably about 2 games that never will leave my top 3. Seven Wonders and Carcassonne.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Monopoly and Candyland.
No. Seven Wonders and Carcassonne will always, always, always be top 1 to 3 for me in terms of gateway games. We're not talking about that. Dominion, good game, but I feel because you're going to need expansions after a period of time, unless you don't play 6-7 games in a row like we have done in the past when you first get it, I'm going to give it an 8 because it did invent a new genre. It did change the whole, and it did inspire a lot of really creative ideas in games that probably would not exist without it. So for that alone, I'd give it an 8, but I definitely feel like after a while, you're going to need to expand this game out to keep it relevant in your collection. Otherwise, it's going to fall by the wayside.
Yep, so there you have it. That's going to be Dominion base set Rio Grande Games. Check it out. It's definitely worth it. So that's going to be the show for today. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. And you can find all of our reviews at ReviewAndRoast.com. You can find all of our podcasts at ComicRoast.com. Until next week, have a good one.